Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad you have joined us for this week. We hope that you are having a wonderful fall feast season. We hope that you have a wonderful Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, here in a few days. And so that is what we're going to be talking about today, is Day of Atonement, the wonderful blessing that there is, and the fact that Yeshua died upon that cross for us, that his blood was shed for us. And by his blood, there is a forgiveness of sins, and we only obtain that through his blood. And as his word tells us, great shalom have those who love his Torah, and nothing will cause them to stumble. You know, and the Torah itself points us and teaches us about atonement. It points us and tells us about how Yeshua was going to come and how he was going to be the sinless and perfect one, and how he was going to die upon that cross for us, that his blood would be shed, and that by his blood alone that there is forgiveness of sin. So let's go ahead and let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. For Messiah also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. So that was really the purpose behind which Yeshua came, was to restore a relationship between fallen mankind and God. God's desire is for us to walk in covenant with him, to have an intimate relationship with each and every person that he has created. He is our creator. We are the workmanship of his hand, that is to the sinner and to the one who is righteous. And his desire is to commune with every person. And his desire is for the sinner to be made righteous. But that is up to the sinner to be willing to repent, to turn, and to receive the only thing that is able to bring that person back into right standing with God. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they created an issue to which we were born into sin. We were born into the state where we are no longer in right standing with him. We have all sinned at one point in time. We have all broken his law. And because of that, we were a sinner, not in right standing with him, and his desire was to have a relationship with us. So he sent his son to bring us back into that right relationship with him. Yeshua was the righteous one, the one who never sinned, the one who never once broke God's law. He perfectly upheld the Torah, every bit of it, every single law. He perfectly obeyed, never once disobeyed the law of God. So the one who was without sin, the righteous one, suffered. He died upon that cross for us who are or were unrighteous. Before putting our belief in Yeshua and before being washed by his blood, we were unrighteous. To those who still do not believe are unrighteous, and they can obtain righteousness, they can obtain right standing with God by simply putting their belief in the blood of Yeshua and the work that he did for them. Now, that doesn't mean that our walk with him ends at that point. Again, his desire is for us to walk in covenant with him. So our relationship starts by putting our faith in the blood of Yeshua, and then from there, we begin to walk out our faith. Because we have been cleansed of our unrighteousness, now we begin to walk in his righteousness, and our faith journey should produce obedience to his word if we have really been cleansed of our unrighteousness. Okay, so let's go ahead and let's look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5. Consequently, when Messiah came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me, and burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure." Now, God put in the Torah the sacrificial system so that the issue of sin could be dealt with and he could walk with his people. He could dwell among his people, and that which was unclean could be cleansed until the timing that Yeshua would come. So the sacrifice is spoken of in the Torah, provided that bridge until the time that Messiah would come to bring a cleansing, but ultimately the cleansing comes from the blood of Yeshua. And it also points us to the fact that Yeshua was coming and preaches unto us what he would do and what his death on the cross does for us. We learn all that through the sacrificial system that was set up in the Torah. Okay. Now let's look at verse 7. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. We read in another place in Scripture where he says, obedience is better than sacrifice. God's ultimate desire is for us to walk in obedience, not to bring the sacrifice. His desire was never for the sacrifice. His desire is for our obedience. Okay, so we put our faith in him. We believe in the fact that he has cleansed us of our sins, but his desire still is for us to do his will. Yeshua came to do his will, to be obedient unto his Father's will, and he did it perfectly. We are to walk as he walked. We are to be transformed into his image. So what we learn from him is that as he walked in the will of his Father, we are to walk in the will of our Heavenly Father. And he lays out his will for us in Scripture, and that includes his Torah. His Torah teaches us on how to love him in righteousness, the right way of loving him, and the right way of loving people. His desire is for us to walk in his will. Now let's look at verse 8. When he said above, you have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings. These are offered according to the law. Then he added, behold, I have come to do your will. He does away with the first in order to establish the second. And by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Yeshua Messiah once for all. So through the offering, or through Yeshua Messiah dying upon that cross for us, by him willingly laying down his life, the righteous one without sin willingly gave of himself upon that cross so that we could be sanctified. So to us who possess a belief in Yeshua, who believe in the work of his blood, that his blood has cleansed us of all of our uncleanness, of all of our sin, of all of our iniquities. That is what Yom Kippur is about. It is a day of remembrance of the fact that we have been forgiven of our sins. It is a time of fasting where we reflect upon ourselves. We look inside of ourselves and see those things that we need to repent of, and that we need to be cleansed of, and that we need to get rid of out of our lives. And we have been sanctified by his blood. That is, he has made us pure. He has cleansed us of the uncleanness and now says we are clean. It also means that we have been separated. What have we been separated from? We have been separated from the world. No longer to act in conformity unto the world, but to walk in conformity unto Yeshua. We are no longer walking in disobedience. The world walks in disobedience towards God's commands. We have been separated from disobedience. They walk in rebellion and the stiff neck. They do their own desire. They seek after their own will. We have been separated from that to walk in humility, one who is able to be corrected of what we're doing wrong, to One, also, we have been separated to walk and have a desire to want to do the will of the Father, to walk in obedience to Him. So we have been purified. That is what we as believers have been washed by His blood. We have been purified from the world, separated from the world. So no longer are we to act and behave like the world. Let's look at verse 11. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. So daily, the priests had to come into the temple and bring their sacrifices. Once a year, they came and brought in the sacrifice of the atonement, of the covering of the sins. But the blood of the bulls and goats could never take away our sins. It provided a covering on a daily and yearly basis until Yeshua would come and His one sacrifice, ultimately, once and for all, would take away all sins. So for any person to want to be in right standing with God, they have to have faith in the blood of Yeshua and what He has done, not in the blood of bulls and goats. So look at verse 11. But when Messiah appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, He entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of His own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For at the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more would the blood of Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So here we see the writer of Hebrews paints us a picture, and we see here that there appears to be a tabernacle in the heavenlies, that He entered into a holy place. But He did not enter into a holy place that was made with the hands of men. Okay, so there is a heavenly one. Later, in another verse in Hebrews, it talks about how the one on earth was a copy of that which was in the heaven. So He enters into the holy place in the heavens, and He offers His blood once and for all. One sacrifice. That one sacrifice covered sins for all time. And it secures an eternal redemption for those who will believe in Him. It's not a temporary redemption. It is eternal redemption. We have been bought with His blood. And when we walk in covenant with Him, and we are found to be ready when He returns by, number one, possessing that belief in Him and having been washed in His blood and walking in His ways, found to be doing His will, we will have secured an eternal redemption. That is the foolishness of living in conformity to this world and giving in to the desires of our flesh and the pleasures of sin, the temporary pleasures of sin, because it is so short compared to the eternal redemption that comes to those who walk in covenant with Him. And then His blood purifies our conscience. His blood purifies our conscience from dead works. So not only does His blood cleanse us, cover over us? That's what atonement means. It means to cover over our sin so that when God looks at us, He does not see our sin. He does not see our unrighteousness, our uncleanness. He sees the blood of Yeshua. He sees us as cleansed, as just, as righteous, as sanctified. That is how he sees us when we are covered by the blood of Yeshua. But not only does his blood provide that covering and wash away our uncleanness, it also purifies or it cleanses our conscience. So it does a work on the inside of us. It cleanses our hearts. It cleanses our minds. It cleanses our thought patterns. If we will allow his blood to cleanse our thoughts, to cleanse our minds, to cleanse our hearts, to cleanse our desires and our passions and those things that we want, to where that which, those thoughts which are unclean, those desires which are unclean, if we will learn to just yield those and give those over to him and allow his blood to purify us of those unclean things, and he transforms us from the inside out. That's how we're transformed. It has to start from the inside. Our hearts and our minds have to be cleansed. If they're not cleansed, then the outward being is not going to be cleansed. Whatever's inside of us is going to flow out. Now let's look at Psalms chapter 51 and verse 2. This is David's psalm that he wrote after he sinned with Bathsheba. To the choir master, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. So this is his prayer, or the psalm that he writes upon him seeing Bathsheba taking a bath on the rooftop, sees her, says, I have to have her, commits adultery with a married woman, then murders her husband in an attempt to cover up his sin when he finds out that she is pregnant. Okay. And so his prayer, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. So David knows that even though he has done this awful thing, he has committed adultery and tried to hide that by actually murdering a person. He calls upon the mercy of God and asks him to cleanse him of his sin and to wash him from his iniquity. He knows to whom he needs to go to in order to receive forgiveness. Let's look at verse 3. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Find it interesting here that David's response here is upon committing adultery and murdering a person, he's like, against you and only you have I sinned against. David's concern was about the relationship with his God. When we sin, when we miss the mark, are we concerned about the effect that we have against God? Do we think that we have sinned against him when we sin? Do we think about how we have broken his covenant? Do we think about how we have broken his heart? Now let's look at verse 5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So David knows where the root issue here is. As I spoke before, we have all been born with this sin nature because of what Adam and Eve did. So he was brought forth in iniquity. We were all brought forth in iniquity. And in sin were we conceived. We were conceived with a sin nature inside of us, with this part of us that had a desire to rebel against God's law, to not do his will, but instead to seek after the things of this world, to seek after the flesh, to seek after the sinful disobedience, to walk in contrary to God's word. We were brought forth with that nature. So there is something inside of us that has to be dealt with. And just putting our faith in Yeshua and believing in him and that there is forgiveness through his blood, that alone doesn't just reset the meter and this sin nature we're born with goes away. We are still on a daily basis having to learn how to fight against that sin nature that is inside each and every single one of us. In verse 6, behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. So we're going back to, it's that which is on the inside is what matters. David says, you delight in truth in the inward being. You delight for me to have truth inside of me, in my heart, in my soul, in my mind. His word is truth. All of scripture is truth. And that includes his Torah, his law, which he has given us. His law sets forth truth. And when we write his law upon our hearts and upon our minds, we are writing his truth on our hearts and on our minds. And in order to begin to walk in his truth, in order to begin to walk in his righteousness, we first have to begin to write it upon our hearts and upon our minds. And he prays for God to teach him wisdom in his secret heart. Give me wisdom. Now, the Torah tells us that it brings us wisdom. Wise is the one who walks according to his Torah. So to be taught wisdom is to learn his law and to learn how to walk in his law, in humility, in obedience, in the right way. Let's look at verse 7. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. So here's a man who has committed adultery. Here's a man who has killed her husband, trying to cover it up. And he says, purge me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. So this evil, awful thing that I have done, if you cleanse me, I will be whiter than snow. All the filthiness, all the uncleanness will be gone because you would have washed me. And that is what Yeshua does for us. That is what his blood does for us. When we put our belief in him, his blood will purge us. It will cleanse us of all that is unclean. No matter what we have done, there is nothing that we have done that is too bad that he cannot cleanse us and make us whiter than snow. There's not something that we have done way too many times that will make us to where we cannot be cleansed or made whiter than snow. The most sinful person on earth can turn their heart and believe in Yeshua and embrace his blood and be washed by the blood of Yeshua, and they will be whiter than snow. Let's look at verse 8. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Very interesting. Upon sinning and committing these acts, he first realized that he sinned against God. He broke God's heart. And here we see in this passage, cast not your presence from me. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. David was concerned about his relationship with God. He still wanted to walk with God. He still wanted to be in the presence of God. And he knew that his actions could have an effect on him walking with God and being in his presence. He knew that what he did could grieve the Holy Spirit and cause the Holy Spirit to depart. So he cries out, cleanse my heart. Because remember, I was born in iniquity. I was born into sin. He knows where the issue is. He knows what needs to be fixed in order for him to walk in righteousness. He says, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me, or renew a steadfast spirit inside of me. Renew a spirit inside of me that is steadfast, that is strong, that has a desire to walk in your ways and fights and has a zeal to walk in his law, to walk in obedience to his word. And it has to start with us first having our hearts cleansed. Cleansed of all that which is unrighteous. So during this season, we can take time to search our hearts and to pray and ask him to create inside of us a clean heart, to remove those things in our heart that is impure, that need to go, so that our hearts could be purified. And may he renew a steadfast spirit inside of us, a loyal spirit, a spirit that is loyal and faithful to his covenant, to his law. That is what his law is. It is our covenant with him. Cast me not away from your presence. He desires to stay with the Almighty. May we have that desire to stay with him and to understand that when we sin against him, not to be worried about what men may think, but our concern will be our relationship with the Almighty. Let's look at verse 12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your way and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Let's not forget to sing and give him praise for the fact that he has brought us salvation, for the fact that he has cleansed us of all of our uncleanness, that he has cleansed our hearts, and that he has written his law upon our hearts and upon our minds, that he has not forsaken us, he has not abandoned us, he hasn't taken us from his presence, and he has not taken his Holy Spirit from us. But we can still commune with him on a daily basis. So let us give praise for the mercy that he has shown us and the grace that he has shown us. Let's look at verse 16. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in right sacrifices and burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. So here, David finishes this off by saying the sacrifices that God wants, the one that he will not despise, the ones that he accepts, are the sacrifices of a broken spirit, of a contrite heart. That is one who is broken over the fact that they have sinned against their God. They were broken over the fact that they have broken their God's heart when they disobeyed him. It is the one who comes in humility, broken over the fact that they have done something that is unpleasing to their God, and they want to fix it and make it right. They come humbly in repentance, willing to receive correction, willing to be cleansed of their uncleanness, and to change their ways. That is the sacrifice he desires. His desire never was for the animal sacrifice. The animal sacrifice serves a purpose, and they were to do it. But an animal sacrifice without a broken and contrite heart was not one that he was going to accept. So as we come into this time of Yom Kippur and Day of Atonement and this time of repentance and seeking his cleansing, let us remember, let's not just go through a routine. Let's not just routinely quote prayers before him, but let us come with a broken spirit over the things that we have done that have broken his heart. Well, hallelujah, we are so glad that you have joined us this week. Again, I hope that you have a great Day of Atonement, that it is blessed, an awesome time of communion with God as you search your heart, as you seek those things that you need to turn from and repent from. Embrace the blood of Yeshua and know that once and for all of your sins were washed away. Give him praise for the fact that you have salvation through the blood of Yeshua. And we are so glad that you have joined us. We will be back again next week with another teaching. And so come back now, and shalom, y'all.